Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover. And this being the first week of the month, I'm basically giving you an update in regards to what all is going on with the podcast and Becoming God's Man Ministries. First off, if you remember me mentioning I had some thoughts that I was going to bring up this time, a couple weeks ago, what it all surrounds is the one episode a month that I do that is more of a Bible study, or a focused Bible study, planned Bible study. I'm actually starting to lean towards separating that out into a separate podcast. I don't know if I'll revitalize what was the Becoming God's Man devotional podcast and start putting it there as an episode every other week, or if I will have it under a different title. But just, and when I do decide on that, it's actually going to be at the beginning of next year. So I'll continue on with the Radical Faith series until I finish that, and then, which will probably be November, and then I will probably do something special for December, and then what I'll do in replace of that week is a second kind of history episode where the months or the figures that I have either super long episodes on, or I decide to easily break down covering them into multiple episodes. Especially like this month, I'm going to continue on with Thomas Aquinas and actually cover his theological and philosophical beliefs, where last month I basically just gave a brief overview of his life. Where in the future, things like that, it would all be in one month instead of breaking it up among multiple months. Also, I feel that the Bible study things don't quite as much, although the Radical Faith ones more fit into it because of, but I feel most of what I would be doing with that probably wouldn't fall under what the original thought of the God at Work podcast was about. So rather than trying to every month figure out some sort of Bible study message type thing to put into the podcast, I figured I would just go and separate it out from the podcast itself. That being said, again, with the Radical Faith series, because it's talking about, I'm going through basically characters in the Bible and pretty much how God has used them and their faith, that fits right in with the podcast, so I didn't feel the need to do the separation until after I finish through it. And this month, I'm continuing on with Paul. So that's something to look forward to, is learning all about pretty much Paul's faith, because I'll get more into it, but unlike some people, he actually walked into becoming a believer knowing what he was facing, because in regards to persecution, because a lot of the persecution that he knew he was going to be facing was persecution he was bringing before the Christians before he became a Christian himself. So again, that's something to look forward to later on this month. In a couple weeks, next week, again, I'll be talking about Thomas Aquinas' theological and possibly philosophical beliefs, and how his life pretty much, how basically God used his life pretty much to kind of shape and mold those beliefs. Also, I don't know how many of you that are listening now were listened to the episode a little over a year ago with Brian Zitt, but at the end of the episode, we actually, at that time, there was a GoFundMe page for a member of our congregation who was facing some issues, and the GoFundMe page was basically to help provide payment for them to go through rehab, and, well, that got funded, she went through the rehab, got out, and as far as I know, she didn't really have any relapses or anything, but I also know Sunday at church we were told that last Saturday she had passed away, so just pray for that family. I mean, she's now with the Lord because she was a believer. She's no longer struggling. She had health issues as well, so she's not struggling with the health issues. She's not struggling with her past addictions or anything like that. But just pray for the family, her husband, her kids, and just pray for their comfort. And now for the unscripted part, last week I was talking about how, as Christians, sometimes there are some out there that will view grace as basically being a get-out-of-jail-free card, giving them what some would probably say diplomatic immunity for being able to sin and not face and not have to worry about it, by saying, and it was all brought about when my mom basically asked me for some verses in the Bible against speaking to the dead. And I said, okay, here's a bunch of verses, and the first problem I mentioned about them is most of them are Old Testament, so be cautious of someone that would say, oh, that's Old Testament, I'm no longer under the law. Well, the other issue that arose with it is the few verses that were New Testament don't specifically state in the English language speaking to the dead. And it's basically a problem with translations. You could say it's a problem with our English language compared to the original Greek. But a lot of the issue is sometimes with a lot of sins that are heavily spoken against in the Old Testament are to some extent spoken against in the New Testament, but the only problem is in the various iterations of the English language, those verses, basically something gets lost in translation. And again, with the concept of speaking to the dead, that is a good example. Because the verses that speak against it, the word that they use is sorcery or magic or witchcraft, which to a first century Greek person speaking Greek, they would understand those words to essentially mean, besides the connotations that we would put to it, also the concept of, in some way or form, getting into an altered state in order to communicate with spirits. So basically, in the New Testament, we have a lot of these, and actually throughout the Bible, when you look at the original, languages and what they meant to the original audience, you have a lot of these umbrella terms that encompass a lot of things, but then in our modern language, those same terms aren't as wide-reaching as they used to be, like sorcery and witchcraft and magic. A lot of times we don't understand those terms in our modern language to encompass everything that it meant to a first century Greek. And a lot of times it's with that issue of people not wanting to fully look into what the Bible was actually stating at the deeper level and just do a surface skimming of it, that they would go and say, well, it doesn't speak against that because I don't see it saying anything against that sin. What you're saying is a sin. When, if you dig deeper, you actually see it. And to some extent, I don't agree with them fully, but the, and this is one area where it seems like the King James only people tend to kind of go against some of what they say, because I've looked at some other websites where they talk about where if the King James, what it says doesn't quite line up with the original language, you throw out the original language is what it almost looked like they were saying, but there are some, and in some instances it seems like they do that, but then in other instances they don't. And one of those is the instance of homosexuality. It's one of those hard topics, but the Bible does call it a sin. But then when you look at the new, basically, and for them, if you look through the entire Bible, you don't see words such as gay, homosexual, things like that specifically mentioned in the English language, or even in the King James English, but the terms that are used that in some of the other translations, which they don't like, get turned into those words in the New Testament, were, again, umbrella terms to encompass multiple things, including homosexuality and things like that. So I guess pretty much what I'm getting at is kind of a continuation of when you have to approach someone in love because of what they're doing, to help point out to them that it's a sin, not in a judgmental way, but in a way of helping to correct them, to get them back on the right path. You need to be, one, like I mentioned last week, careful of when they start to pull, of how to approach them if they pull the, well, that's Old Testament, I believe in the New Testament, I'm no longer under the law. But also, how if they pull out the thing, also in the New Testament there's nothing that speaks against it. Point out, being able to understand that while the translations, English translations we have, don't specifically state it, through prayer, prepare yourself by looking into the verses that talk against it, maybe digging deeper to understand the original language, the original intent, to help point out to that person that, yes, the way we read it today, it might not say that, but here's what the original author more likely meant, and how the original audience more likely took this verse to mean, which is still applicable today. So, I guess that's pretty much what I'm getting at. Again, just a reminder, next week I'll finish off with Thomas Aquinas. In 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, basically on the 7th, 14th. On the 28th, I will continue on with the Radical series covering the faith of Paul. Again, this is Chuck Groover, and that's God at Work.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/godatworkpodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.